إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. إن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وجل، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. The Almighty Lord says in His glorious uncreated word, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، يا بني آدم لا يفتننكم الشيطان. O children of Adam, let not Satan seduce you. O children of Adam, let not Satan deceive you. And he says, the Almighty, warning us against the accursed, rejected, two-horned, ugly beast. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Indeed, Satan is an enemy to you, so treat him as an enemy. Satan the accursed sees the father of all humans, Adam alayhi salam, as the main reason for him being expelled from paradise, and the main reason for Allah's curse upon him. Thus, without a doubt, he is seeking revenge. He is seeking revenge not only from Adam, but the offspring of Adam, attacking, invading man from all directions. As the Almighty Lord says, قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Satan said, because you led me astray, surely I shall sit in wait against them. As humans, I shall sit in wait against them. On your straight path, he said. And then I shall come to them, from before them, in front of them, and from behind them, and then on their right, and then on to their left, and you shall not see the majority of them as thankful servants. Then the Almighty Lord rebukes him. قَالَ اخْرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْؤُومًا مَدْحُورًا لَمَنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Allah Ta'ala tells Satan, tells this accursed, rejected, devilish one, get out of paradise, disgraced and expelled. And whomsoever follows you, I shall fill hellfire with you all. Every single person. All humans are on a constant battle. A battle like no other battle. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every single day of our lives. The battle with the two-horned ugly creature, Satan. He has made this earth that we are walking on his borders for his battlefield. Every single second, not every day, every second, he implants the seeds of wickedness. He implants the seeds of mischievousness, of evil, in order to drive all humanity, all jinn, to eternal damnation, to eternal hellfire. He enters the soul of men, beautifying for him disobedience, carrying nothing but false promises and glimmering desires, inducing us, drugging us, for indeed he drugs his victims, inducing into them satanic beautification, blocking the servants of the Almighty Lord from worshipping him, casting doubt in their minds. Is this the truth or is it not? Beautifying the ugly, turning evil or making it look like it's good. Evil, he makes it look good through alcohol, gambling, music, riba, theft, murder, lies, cheating, deceiving, the betrayal of trust, false oaths, disrespect to parents, pride, arrogance, the love of this world. He makes evil look good. He makes a rock look like gold if it means destroying this person. This is Satan. Why? Because he does not want you to go to paradise. He wants you to go with him to where? To hellfire. So he will try his ultimate in order to chain you to him, glue you to him, and thus drive you into a pit of fire. A pit of fire. And today, the world that we are living in, statistics by the World Health Organization revealed that the world, more than ever, is drowning in the abyss of the ocean of calamities. Look at the world around us. Soaring crime rates, robbery, rape, burglary, assault, homicide, suicide, killing, murder. Drug abuse, family breakups, prostitution, adultery, fornication, and all forms of sexual promiscuity worldwide. Alcohol devastating the majority of the world. But one crime, one disease, one sin that Satan has succeeded in driving, in seducing man into, is the greatest and the most dangerous and the most filthiest sins on the face of this earth, the sin of zina, fornication. A sin that destroys and shatters the homes, that destroys good character, good behavior, that creates envy, jealousy, hatred, discord, enmity between people, that makes the society as a whole collapse, that brings shame, embarrassment to the family and relatives, that destroys their relatives altogether, it breaks them up and that brings or opens the doors to the worst diseases on the face of this earth. Diseases, filthy diseases like gonorrhea, herpes, syphilis, AIDS, and much, much more. This is the reason why the Almighty Lord warned us about the forbidden gaze, the unlawful look. Why? Because it is the first step into fornication. The lustful look is like a messenger for you to commit zina. The lustful look is like a messenger coming to you, inspiring you, after igniting in your heart the fire of lust, the fire of desire, the fire of abomination, and thus placing you in the state of ultimate destruction, which is zina. Which is zina. This is the evil. And this is why the Almighty Lord called it the zina of the eye. Because the zina of the eye, zina in reality begins with the eye. So if you look with a lustful look, Satan hits it. It's like a venom where it hits the other person. He or she in return will look at you. And thus, destruction befalls. So he called it the zina of the eye. And here it is important to mention that men are prone to be affected by temptation, by what they see, the image, the scene, more than ladies. Because the emotional reaction in men usually starts immediately after they view an image. And scientifically, it's been mentioned that men by nature are visual spatial, if the word in English is correct. Meaning that man, his visual space in his brains is more active than that of a woman. That's why when a man goes to see a potential wife, he doesn't care about what does she do for a living or how much money she has. That's just the side. He puts it on the side. But the first thing he cares about is the image. Is the image. And if she's not nice, you wouldn't ask her anything after that. If that image interests him, then he will go to the second. But the second is easy. The third is easy. The fourth is easy. Why? Because he reacts to what he sees and does not think about anything else. That's the meaning of visual spatial. However, on the other hand, we have the lady. The ladies are classified as being verbal, meaning that they feel to words, tone, kind speech, warm emotions, more than men. And I'm pretty sure those who are married understand that. You come home and give her a beautiful word, just like you've given her the whole world. But you come home and say that the food was distasteful. It's like you have put the whole world on top of her head. Or you come home and give her a nice red rose. It's like you have given her the whole world again. But you come home with no rose. She will frown in your face and say, "You don't love me." So, they react to what? To words. To warm emotion. They react not to the image, but to the voice. To the way you confront her. And this explains why they react in such a manner that it changes their whole life. Just by you saying a beautiful word to her or giving her something nice. But when men want to do the same thing or want that to happen to them, there is no comparison. She can give him everything in this life and give him the most sweet talk. But in the realm of men, it does not bother him or affect him if the image in front of him is not the image he wants to see. So, there is a difference between the two. Obviously, and I'm pretty sure everyone understands this. Thus, it makes the obligation of guarding the vision harder for man than for woman. If you understand this, guarding the vision for man becomes harder than for woman. And this explains why the Almighty Lord mentions the Quranic injunction regarding the ladies to protect themselves by covering themselves from the evil eyes of men. Worshippers of the Almighty Lord, Muslims, believers, know that this eye, and thus the vision, the sight that Allah has blessed you with, is one of the greatest favors of the Almighty Lord upon you. Its duty upon every believer is to show his gratitude to Allah for giving him such a beautiful gift. But showing gratitude does not mean to say, "Bas alhamdulillah," and that is it. No. To show gratitude for this beautiful vision you have been gifted is to employ your vision, your sight, only in that which is lawful, only in that which pleases Allah Ta'ala. If you love Allah Ta'ala, then look at that which He loves and avoid that which is unlawful, that which displeases Allah Ta'ala. And indeed, if you love the Almighty Lord, you do not want to displease Him. Are we not Muslims? Do we not love Allah Ta'ala? Then use this vision, this gaze, only in that which He loves, and avoid that which He is displeased with. And in reality, you love the Almighty Lord. However, if you utilize your vision in the wrong manner, it can become extremely dangerous for you. Why? Because the eyes are the windows to the world for the body. Just like a house. Has it got not windows? Has not your car got windows? Why are the windows there for? So you can see behind the windows. You can see what is behind it. And thus you judge after you see. Likewise, your body needs windows, and your windows to the world for the body are these things on your face. Through them you see the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful. Through them you see the haram, the halal. Through them you see the veiled and the unveiled, the wicked and the righteous. Through them you see safety and danger. And through them you see, most importantly, that which is haram, wrong to do, thus you avoid it. And that which is allowed to be done, lawful to be done, and then you do it. And then you do it. But when you see something, what happens? Does it stop there? No, it doesn't. Every image that you visualize transfers itself to the heart. And when it transfers itself to the heart, it starts working. It's like a computer. Starts working. And the result comes out. If you are a faithful person, the result is righteous. If you are a wicked person, the result is wicked. An example, you see a lady walk in the street, naked, but glamorous. So you look at her. Now, the image is there. This is very important. Take this example as a very important example. The image is there. Immediately, that image immediately transforms itself or transfers itself to the heart. Now the heart, if it's a pure heart that loves Allah Ta'ala, immediately he's going to respond how? A'udhu billah. Stop, he'll tell the eyes. Hold it right there. Allah does not like this. So your vision is going to be diverted. But if it's a wicked person, he will say, beautiful, continue looking. Look at the beautiful creation of Allah Ta'ala. So he'll continue with his evil because his heart is evil. And this is how it works. Your eyes are the windows to the world for the body. And as you are here, or have heard, that a picture tells 1,000 words. This saying is correct. Wallahi, this saying is genuine. How many pictures have not only destroyed people's lives, but also destroyed their way, their character, their behavior, their ethics, their morals, the way they eat, drink, sleep, dress, sit, stand, everything. A picture can destroy your life ultimately. Because in reality, a picture can tell you 1,000 words. For this, the gazing, the forbidden gaze, is like a chronic disease, a plague that infects, that destroys the believing servants of the Almighty Lord. And like any other disease, there are causes for it. And likewise, for every disease, there is a cure. Causes that you must avoid, and a cure that you must implement in order that you do not fall in this chronic evil disease. But where do we find the physician here, the doctor? Do we go to Campbelltown or Camden Hospital? Or maybe it's in Liverpool or in Bankstown Hospital? No, it's in none of these. The doctor here is divine. It's in the uncreated word of the Almighty Lord. So inshaAllah Ta'ala, we will look briefly at the causes, briefly, and at the cure, briefly. And we call the causes of the forbidden gaze as the arrows of Satan. And the cure is how to break these arrows. So the first arrow, the devilish arrow that we'll mention, are those who follow no other than their desire. And if you follow your desire, you follow the devil. And if you follow the devil, you have obeyed him. And if you have obeyed the devil, you have disobeyed the Almighty Lord, who is the creator of the devil. And if you have disobeyed the Almighty Lord, you are indeed eligible for punishment. Eligible for punishment. But many people are not concerned about halal, haram. They are concerned what their hawa, their desire wants. They're so indulged in evil and wicked that they have made their desire, their hawa, their Lord. As Allah Ta'ala says, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you not seen the person? This is Allah's statement here. Have you not seen the person who has taken as his Lord his own desire? Meaning, there is no halal, there was no haram in his life. Whatever his desire wants, he implements. Whatever he feels like, he does. Whether it's going to hurt, harm, please, displease, he does not care about anything. One thing he cares about is pleasing his desire. In reality, he is worshipping who? The Subhi? Who is he worshipping? This person who takes his desire as his Lord. He is worshipping the devil. How can someone worship a two-horned, ugly, filthy, abominated creature like Satan? Allahumustaan. Alayhi. Isn't it filthy? He's filthy and he is filthy. They're both filthy, these people. A second arrow of Iblis is watching TV, movies, looking in the magazine or newspaper, or going on the net, where women excessively exposed their beauty or existed in locations where there is a large gathering of men and women mingling. And how true was the lyric of the Arab poet when he said, "They throw him into the ocean with his hands tied up." Listen to this carefully. "They throw him into the ocean with his hands tied up, and then they threaten him, 'Do not get wet.'" How is he not going to get wet? The example means that you enter these places, you go to these places, the malls, the super centers, you go on the net with the ladies and so forth, you go into an X-rated magazine or video, and then you say, "Oh, I don't want to get affected." That's illogical, irrational. Why enter it in the first place? Many men spend a lot of time on roads, in shops, or the shopping complex, or the mall, or the beaches, or on TV, or movies, or in the cinema, or on the net, one of the most evil creatures on earth, the net, which is the devil itself, that's why I call it a creature. Doing what? Gazing at the forbidden gaze. Flirting, talking, looking, chatting, as though there is nothing wrong. As though there is nothing wrong. It's all easy. This is nothing but a poison arrow from Iblis. As our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in a narration compiled by Sulaiman ibn al-Ash'ath Abu Dawood, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The look is one of the poison arrows of Iblis. Whoever lowers his gaze for the sake of Allah, Allah will put in his heart sweetness to the day of resurrection." How beautiful is this narration? But have we understood this narration? Before we look, have we reflected upon this beautiful, golden advice? Wallahi, whoever has reflected and pondered and thus acknowledged and implemented, you will see yourself so faithful that no one can ever, ever break you. Just take this advice from our greatest teacher, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you see a lady on the street or anywhere, avoid that gaze, the forbidden gaze, and wallahi, if you do it for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of your wife, she may be looking, or the sake of your father or mother, they may be looking, but for the sake of the creator of your wife and the mother and father and the creator of you, and Allah will place that beauty in your heart. He will place that sweetness in your heart. Especially when the companions asked Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, what do we do when we're on the roads? You know, there are people there. Ladies walk, especially in our day. If they were worried then, imagine today. They were worried then about gazing, the forbidden gaze. And they were dressed up those days. And they still asked and they were scared. Ya Rasulullah, what are the rights of the road?" they asked him. And he replied most eloquently, "Lower your gaze. Do not look." But how many of us have understood this? And in Muslim Ibn Hajjaj's compilation, Ibn Jarir radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Muhammad sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, what happens if I am walking and my gaze accidentally," look at this, accidentally, not deliberately, "falls on a forbidden look?" What did he say? "Oh, it's not a problem, just relax." He said, "Turn your eyes away." It looks at a forbidden place, or forbidden person, or book, or paper, or screen, or scene, or image, or whatever other balut. Turn your face away. Do not continue looking. Do not continue looking. It is haram for you to continue once you know that it is haram to look at. Especially in this sizzling hot weather that we are currently experiencing. And one of the most grievous sins of summer is what? The sin of undressing. We all know that people in these days are prone to cut down on pieces of clothes they wear. Pieces. I'm not saying full garments, pieces. In other words, they're hardly wearing anything. They might as well go back to their myth of Adam and Eve with the leaf. There's no difference today. And seducing people's eyes. But this is the most grievous sin, the sin of undressing in these hot summer days. It is hard, but not for a believer. And they claim by dressing like that, we are only seeking what? A cold breeze on a hot summer day. We can't dress with clothes that are going to make us hot, they say. We have to relax. We have to cool down. We want natural air conditioning. We want the breeze to hit us and cool us from the heat that we are in. But Allah Ta'ala says what? Informing us to inform these people. قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرًّا لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ اللَّهُمْ اسْتَعَانُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَفْقَهُونَ Allahumma ista'in, saying that the hellfire, the fire of hell, is much fiercer in heat if they only understood. Another arrow of Satan is the ignorance of the consequences of the reckless look and how easily it can affect you and indulge you into zina and indulge you in the evil act of masturbation. And as we heard earlier on, the catastrophic consequences of zina itself, how it shatters and destroys home, destroys behavior and character, ethics and moral, spreads envy and jealousy, hatred and enmity among people, how it destroys the society as a whole, how it brings shame, embarrassment to the family and their relatives, and how it spreads the worst of diseases. These are all catastrophic, evil consequences. But when a person is applying this evil, he does not think of it. Does not think of it. Only when it is too late. And when it is too late, he says, what have I done to myself? If he's a believer. But if he's not a believer, he still doesn't care. He can't wait for the second chance. But if he's a believer, he says, astaghfirullah. He knows what he'd done was wrong. So think before you do it. Arrow number 4 is feeling an elusive delight when stealing a glance of the forbidden. That is very evil. That you feel comfortable, satisfied when you see that which you shouldn't see. Like you're looking at the person and you're feeling comfortable. You're enjoying it. You're enjoying looking at nudity, nakedness. That is evil. And wallahi, this is no other than the effect of heedlessness and the lack of reverence to Allah Ta'ala in a person's heart. For indeed, if this person had real glorification, real love for Allah Ta'ala, he would never, ever feel in this way. Instead, a person, if he commits haram, like the forbidden gaze, he will feel bad. He will feel resentful, remorse. He will be disappointed. He will be angry. He will do anything immediately to rectify that problem, that sin, by committing a good deed so we can erase the evil deed. This is a believer. This is a believer. Arrow number 5. Turning away from marriage for both men and women. For so many diverse, trivial, futile reasons. And what happens after that? What happens after that? If you're able to get married, physically and financially, and you've got that interest, but you turn away, what happens? That explodes indefinitely. The fire of desire and instinct. As soon as you look at that forbidden gaze, you are going to be affected. Because you want that forbidden gaze, and you want more than that forbidden gaze, but you do not want to get married. Why? I haven't finished my university, or my degree, or my trade, or my father disallows me to get married until I do this and that. A'udhu billah, a'udhu billah, a'udhu billah. Fear the Almighty Lord, for there is no excuse on a day where nothing will avail you except your actions. No money, no person, no nothing. The only thing that will help you on that mighty day of retribution is that which your hands come forth with. Arrow number 6 is relying on Allah's mercy and forgiveness. And this is commonly known among the majority of Muslims. They commit the evil, Allahu Ghafurur Rahim. They commit the evil, Allahu Ghafurur Rahim, they say. Allah is all forgiving. Allah is most merciful, most gracious. He will allow us to do this, but He will forgive us for it. This is their argument. He has allowed us, and thus He will forgive us. He is the all-merciful. He is the all-forgiving. He accepts repentance. But they never say, وَهُوَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. And He is severe in punishment. Arrow number 7. Repetitive or constant contact with women in various parts of life, especially at work. Especially at work. Naturally, when you constantly meet women at work, it's going to suppress sensitivity, is it not? If you say it's not, you must be abnormal. Because every single person will agree that when you are in constant contact with ladies, especially of marital status or beauty, or exposed beauty, you are going to get affected. So constant mixing or linking or whatever you want to call it will affect your heart and destroy your heart. And we all know the story of Secretary Sandy. We all know her story. Especially Dr. Ahmed knows her. And that we do not want to fall into, because it's extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous. These are 7 arrows among many that we experience. As for the cure, I'll allow you to choose if you want to continue for the cure that must be implemented, or we want to, inshallah, postpone the cure to next week. And the cure will take about 15 to 20 minutes. Next week, inshallah. Because this series of the forbidden gaze will go for approximately 4 lessons. And among the lessons of this series is, inshallah ta'ala, the intermingling with the other sex and what is allowed. Likewise, we'll lead up to polygyny. That will be the last lesson of the series. And next week, inshallah, we will continue with the cure for the forbidden gaze. We ask the Almighty Lord to purify our hearts from hypocrisy, our chests from rancor, our eyes from betrayal, our tongues from lying. We ask the Almighty to shield our eyes from the hellfire, to guard our vision, and to enlighten our hearts with the light of Iman, our eyes with the light of the Quran, and our insight with the light of guidance. Allahumma ameen. اللهم آمين اللهم آمين